speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm told on very good authority that the police are taught their ABC. Do you know, they didn't know their ABC until they joined the police. ABC. Well, what it stands for is accept nothing, believe no one, and challenge everything. And I'm married to someone who knows exactly what that means and how he does it constantly, bless him. But they know there are things that you challenge and doubt. And I wonder, are there things that you hear today challenge and doubt? I'm sure there are all things that we question, and rightly so, I think, you know. I've always loved this morning's gospel and the account of our dear old doubting Thomas. Galileo wrote that doubt is the father of discovery, and this certainly applied to this particular disciple. But you know, I have to confess that as I read and reread and pondered again on today's well-known and loved passage, I began to see Thomas in a very different light. And I've actually felt I needed to apologise to him for always referring to him as doubting Thomas. And we all do it. If I just said Thomas, you would think, who? Thomas Aquinas or whatever. But doubting Thomas, and you think, ah, yes, I know. But one of them wanted to put his hands and have real proof. But you know, I began to wonder why he felt the need to go and hide away after the death of Jesus. Was he just being a coward? What was his reason? So actually, the very first thing I thought about was, why was he not with the other disciples that moment when Mary brought that amazing news to them and saying, I've seen the Lord? So where was he? Why wasn't he there? Why? And then I stopped to think about bereavement, my own and other people's. And you know, we all deal with bereavement in very different ways. For some people, they find it very comforting in being with other people who are on the same journey, who actually speak the same language. But others actually can't cope with that. They take themselves off and they have to deal with their grief alone and in their own way and in their own time. Was it that he was that sort of person that found it difficult to grieve in public, embarrassed at the sign of display of any sign of emotion, horror of horrors that he might be seen crying? And I know I've said this before, but I remember so well a week or so after David died, and I was sitting over there and I was weeping, and someone turned round to me and said, June, I didn't expect to see you crying. Well, maybe Thomas felt a bit the same, that he just didn't want people to see his deep emotion that he was carrying. But whatever his reason for hiding away, he would have known in his heart that Jesus was going to die one day. He knew that. But I think, you know, when it happened in such a public and humiliating way, he was just broken-hearted. He couldn't cope. Maybe he felt that he couldn't face being with the other people while he was in such a dark place himself. And then rather like an injured animal, he took himself off to deal with the grief in his own time and his own sacred place. King George V used to say that, if I have to suffer, let me be like a well-bred animal and suffer alone. But, you know, by withdrawing from his Christian fellowship, he missed out on the love and support that he would have got from his fellow disciples, because of course they also were equally grieving and grief-stricken. So do you think that was perhaps a little selfish of him, to just look after his own feelings and not try and comfort his fellow disciples? Who knows? But you know, this sort of grief of people just dealing with it themselves and not sharing is something I have witnessed over the years, that sometimes a grieving spouse is so overwhelmed by his or her grief to the point they're consumed so much that they fail to notice or share with those around them that are also suffering and on the same journey. I do remember one very sad case many years ago. A gentleman was so devastated by his wife's death that he actually committed suicide. And this was horrible for the family because they were dealing with their mum and then they had to deal with their father. So yes, maybe sometimes this can be a selfish act and it's a sad one. So I think, you know, a case like today makes us think that we need to be aware and share with other people on the journey in any way we can. And I think it's important that we give ourselves permission to be vulnerable, which is what Thomas did really. He admitted his vulnerability. So this morning, instead of berating Thomas for his seemingly selfish act, which I've just done already, I want to see his actions in a more positive light. Because doubting and questioning can be viewed in a very positive way. I remember soon after my son-in-law's sudden death at the age of 28, I was at a conference, and across the room I saw this person, and I honestly thought it was Martin, who had passed just a couple of months previously. It was the same colour hair, the same sort of clothes he wore, he had his back towards me. And I felt ill, I began to shake, I felt sick. I thought, it can't be, and yet I've got to find out. And I went over and I tapped, excuse me, and he turned round, and of course it wasn't him, needless to say. But I had to find out, I needed that proof for myself. So however you think of Thomas, we do have to admire his honesty in sharing his doubts. It was hard for him. It's not easy to go against the crowd and to voice our inmost thoughts. He was brave enough to go back and to meet up with his pals and to share his doubt. He could so easily have pretended to believe, but no, he chose to speak out. His honesty in admitting his doubts is commendable. I wonder, you know, how many of us would be honest enough to voice our innermost doubts about certain acts of our faith, our belief, if we have them? And I'm going to just challenge you all, really, if there are things in your walk of faith that you're not sure about, seek someone out, speak about them, bring them out into the light. Don't just carry them in darkness like a weight on your back. Begin to talk about them. You've come here today, which is a great start. Jesus has access to our thoughts, just as he did with Thomas. You know, it's ironic that we become so concerned with the thoughts that maybe the Chinese can be listening in on our conversations, certainly via Alexa. I've turned mine off because I think she's hearing too much of my life. And also having access to our phones, all our emails and things, they reckon. And we forget that Jesus sees all our actions. He hears every word, and scarily, he reads our minds. He knows everything that each one of you here is thinking this very moment. Whether it's, oh dear, I haven't put the didn't put the oven on, or I wonder what was headlines in the paper, or whatever it is. Jesus knows what you're thinking. So bring your thoughts back here now and leave them at home, the things that are at home. Another great virtue of Thomas was that once he had received the proof he so desperately needed, his immediate acclamation was to say, "My Lord and my God." In other words, he turned out from doubting to really believing and to sharing that belief. And I'm sure he went on to share it a lot more. But also another point occurred to me, that we actually read in the Gospels that Thomas wasn't the only disciple that doubted. He said, I think it says in Matthew 28 actually, verse 17, that we read that some of the disciples doubted. This was after they'd all been with Jesus for 3 whole years. They'd seen hundreds of folk healed out of countless diseases. They'd seen people raised from the dead. He fed that crowd with his little lunch pack from the little boy. He even brought people back from the grave, and yet some of his disciples doubted. So I'm not surprised that we carry doubts ourselves. So doubt is healthy, but explore and find out more about it. So feel comforted and encouraged by your healthy doubt. Like Thomas, seek the proof that you really need and continue to ask God for a gift of faith in your journey. Thomas made the mistake of pulling away from his Christian brothers. When going through difficult times, we do need fellowship more than ever, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we meet together, whether we're in person or on Zoom, as you are today, we meet the risen Christ. How? We meet him in each other, because Christ is in us. If we have invited Jesus into our lives as a Christian, he's here. He's inside us. And so it's not surprising that we receive that love and the comfort from other people, because it's Christ's comfort that we give to other people. It's not me, it's not June, it's not Derek and anyone here today. It's Jesus Christ who's reaching out to you. Tennyson wrote, "There is faith in honest doubt." So we're now going to sit in a moment, again to listen to our reflective music. And as we do so, maybe you can just search your hearts and see the doubts that may be lurking somewhere, and just ask Jesus to come into that dark doubt, bring it into the light, and so that, like Thomas, you can say, "My Lord and my God," and really believe it.